Psalm 104, and you ask, "Preacher, where do you get your messages? Where do you get your points?" Well, I got this one off my living room wall. Literally. Nicholas and Shanna had it put up on the wall, stenciled on the wall. And I come through and looked at it, got to thinking about it, wanted to see what a word or two meant. The next thing you know, I was into it. So I got this this was one of them off-the-wall passages, amen? I'm going to preach you one of them off-the-wall messages, all right? That's where this come from, right off the wall. And I want you to look what the Scripture says in Psalm 104. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with the light as with a garment, who stretches out the curtains like the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." And then he goes on, and if you study this out, and it's a good study, you'll find the 7 days of creation right here in that psalm. They're laid out in order. You'll find all 7 days, even down to where the Lord rests. You'll see it there at the end of that psalm. And it's a neat, interesting study. But I won't do that to you. I won't take you all the way through it. But I do want to take you through a few verses this evening here in Psalm 104, if we can bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us. Lord, you've already helped us. Thank you, Lord, for the touch and presence of a holy God. Lord, we confess that we are unworthy to be in the birthing room when a sinner gives his heart to Christ and gets saved. We're unworthy to see what we saw here this morning. We're unworthy to feel what we felt here tonight. We're unworthy, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk. And Lord, we confess that at the outset. But Lord, thank you that we're made worthy through Christ. Help us, I pray, to do justice to the Word of God and lift you up in Christ's name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That phrase is found throughout the Psalms. I don't know how many times it's found. I didn't look it up. It's found over and over and over and over again. But there's something that's here, and this is, I don't understand all I know about this. But in this particular phrase, and in seemingly in this particular passage, they tell me that this doesn't have anything to do with what God has done. Now, the whole psalm's about what God's done. But verse 1 is a standalone verse. And the phrase and the way that it is dealt here, let's see if I can say it this way. If you were going to talk about the God of creation, you would talk about Elohim. He's the God of creation. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a triple word. It's a word that's plural. In the Hebrew, there's three tenses, singular, dual, and plural. Plural is at least three. It's a plural word, Elohim. So it's at least three people there in the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all present there in Genesis 1:1. But he doesn't say, bless Elohim, but rather he says, bless the Lord. And the word here is Jehovah. It was the covenant-keeping name of the God of Israel. It was the name that God gave Moses in the wilderness when he said, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am that I am sent thee. And when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, in this passage, what he is indicating, he is not, even though the whole psalm is based upon what Elohim did, he doesn't start out by praising Elohim and the God of creation, but rather he praises Jehovah, and he praises him not for what he's done, but he goes a little deeper than that, and he praises him for who he is. Now, I want to tell you that I am bad just like youngins on the Hello Mama line, to say, I love my mama. She washes my clothes. She cooks my breakfast. She takes good care of me. I love my mama. You ever listen to a little child on the Hello Mama line? It's always about do. And you don't have to do a whole lot for a child to get them to love you. And that's why they love you. Because you do for them. Is that right? And you can adopt a child and go to doing for them and they'll love you because of what you do for them. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something. If that's all we got when it comes to the God of heaven, that's a Santa Claus mentality. If we only love him because of what he blesses us with and what he does for us. Hey, if we only bless the Lord because of what he's given us and what he's done for us, and you think about how shallow our own testimonies are. And nothing wrong with thanking God for what he's done. That we ought to. The scripture instructs us to. But can I tell you that there's a level above that? When you go to bragging on him just because of who he is. Nothing to do with the benefits. Nothing to do with what he's accomplished. Nothing to do with the creation. Nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing to do with anything else. You just begin to instinctively brag on the character of a holy and mighty God. Let me tell you what you've done. You've entered into worship. This crowd's got worship so convoluted they wouldn't know what it was if it run over them. Worship leaders and all. Let me tell you something. They don't even have a clue. Hey, I'm satisfied worship ain't something you work up. I'm satisfied worship is something that God privileges us with that comes down. You know what's wrong with modern worship? It's all man-made and man-oriented, and it goes from man this way. But let me tell you when it really gets good. It's when you get to can't help it. And when God says, get you some of that. Woo! And God puts it on you, and you just can't hardly stand it. And you go to worshiping. And son, the dog may have got run over, and bills may be late, and you may have all of these problems, but hey, he's God, and besides him, there's none other. And when you can go to praising him and glorifying him and blessing the Lord just simply because of who he is, you have worshiped. I want to give you a thought about thought. There is no higher or holier occupation or engagement of the human mind than to think on who God is. Not geometry, not mathematics, not calculations, not anything. Geophysics, there's no more noble and lofty and high and unfathomable thing that the human mind has ever locked on to than to recognize and realize who God is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then That's an instinctive thing. That's something that comes out of, it comes up out of us. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You get somebody calls you and you say, oh, we just had somebody say, well, bless the Lord. Well, hallelujah. It means the same thing. Well, glory to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. But then not only there's that that's instinctive, then it is possible for us to intelligently begin to try to express ourselves and try to put into words the glory of God's person. Hey, if you know God, there is an instinctive something that comes on you. And if you're not careful, you get out in public and embarrass yourself because you'll let out a hallelujah or a glory to God down at the workplace if you ain't careful. It'll come out on you. Can't help it. I've heard people say they couldn't help cussing. Well, that's the lost man. But I don't tell you, you can't help praising either. You get things just exactly right. Somebody said, well, I'm a preacher, you can't tell me if you don't hit your finger with a nail, you don't do this, that, and that. You can't tell me you don't say bad words. Well, long after I got right, I had a transmission and I was putting it in and it fell on me. And I got hurt. And I come out with a big mouth full of stuff. And it was a pretty day and the sun was shining and the birds was singing. And I come out with a big mouth full of stuff. More out of habit than anything else. And all of a sudden it got cloudy. And the birds quit singing. And it was just a dreary day in my soul. And I got down right there. I got up under that car, got on my hands and knees and said, God, forgive me. How could I have said that? How could I have done that? It's not a small thing to take God's name in vain. It's not a small thing to use blasphemous words. But can I tell you that there's such a thing as instinctive worship, but there's also such a thing as intelligent worship. The scripture says, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Now he's changed words. It was Jehovah a while ago. Now it's Elohim. Oh, Lord, my God. Jehovah, my Elohim. My covenant-keeping creator. I like this. This is getting good. Thou art very great. Look what the Bible says. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Can I say it this way? God may be invisible, but he has clothed himself with royal raiment that are in abundance for everybody to see. Just go outside and look. It's everywhere. It's his raiment, is what he said. And if you want to see God's raiment, just ride up in the forest. You want to see God's raiment, just look at the lilies. Just look around at the beauty of God. Look at a sunset tonight. You'll see his raiment. You may not see God, but you'll see his raiment. And Romans 1 says we're without excuse. Romans 1 says if you've seen his apparel, if you've seen his raiment, if you've got in on his creation, don't be go telling God, hey, I didn't know you was there. I'm sorry. You have seen the train of his royal majestic robes and the hand of his creation. It's not that men can't see. It's that men refuse to see. Refuse to see. I hesitate to use this, but I'll use it in such terms that maybe it won't be offensive. Most of us are familiar with the process of procreation. Male and female, and the exchanging thereof. They have recently found sea urchins. And the sea urchin, they do not have physical contact, but rather the keys of life are released into the water. And it has been believed up until this time that it drifted whithersoever the current took it, and it was just by chance that it reached the awaiting female. But in laboratory tests that have been proved again and again and again, single cell, microbial single cell, keys of life swim in the direction of the female against the current. And they say that's not possible. single cells don't have a brain. They just swim. No, no. You don't understand what I'm telling you. We have discovered not the missing link to Darwinism and evolution. Scientists are blown away by it. Matter of fact, they don't want to talk about it because it blows everything that they have built upon for the past 150 years. Because not only is intelligent design indicated, you can sit and watch it. God created something as dumb as a sea urchin and single cells to be attracted and move in the direction to be able to create other little sea urchins. And they say, that's not possible. I'm telling you, it's true. And the scientific world and the biology world are going crazy. Because they can say nothing but when they swim against the current to reproduce, a single cell cannot have thought. It cannot have direction. It can't know east from west and north from south. And it has no eyes. It has no ears. It has no smell. It has no sense of direction. One little single cell cannot do that. How are they reproducing? It's exactly how they reproduce. Not by being carried by the tide, but off swimming against the tide. And by the way, they have a very high reproductive rate. They are very successful in very hostile environments and hostile climates. And just recently did they figure it out. This can't be. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that, Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. It's not that men can't see God, it's that men won't see God in the creation. And I wanted to go here, and maybe I got time just for quickly. The Bible tells us about some of the work of creation. And he says in verse 2, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Now this is the astral heavens. This is the heavens that the rocket ships are in. And talks about light. Do you understand that light is the most mysterious thing in the universe? We know what light does, but we don't know what light is. God created light before he created the sun. God created light before he created the moon. God created light before he created the stars. You say, well, that's where it all comes from. Not according to Scripture. Light comes from God. We know that the speed of light's always constant. Doesn't change. We know that time and matter are connected with light. And that constant, it never changes. Einstein's famous formula, do you remember it in school? You know what, can you quote it, remember it? E equals what? MC squared. And what does that stand for? Energy equals mass multiplied by the speed of light squared. And it was that little theory that ushered in the atomic age. When we prove that, Einstein theorized it when we split the first atom and exploded the first atomic bomb. We proved it was so. Constant. We still don't understand it. We still don't understand it. Did you know that when we exploded, my father-in-law was at the explosion of the first hydrogen bomb? He was at Anawita. He was in a destroyer with one of the Navy fleets 50 miles downrange of Anawita. we set off a hydrogen bomb that could have caught fire to the atmosphere and have destroyed the earth. One of the most dangerous things we've ever done. As far as I know, we've never done it since. My daddy-in-law said he was down in the bunk, strapped in his bunk in the belly of a destroyer 50 miles downrange. He said when that thing went off, there was a click, and he could see his fingers through his hands inside of a dark ship. Explain that. He said the wind whistled through airtight bulkheads like a screen door. We about got a hold of something we didn't know what we were getting hold of. It blowed a hole in the Pacific Ocean that was unbelievable. It threw things and blew things. We went and built little houses, and we went and built all this stuff and set stuff around to see how it would react to it. It vaporized everything in the experiment. Nothing survived, nothing. None of the test equipment survived. None of the stuff survived. It melted the islands. It melted the atolls. There is nothing out there but a giant hole. And I think we covered it with concrete because I flew over something coming in to the Marshall Islands, and it looked like, I don't know what it was. It looked like some kind of stadium or something. It was so massive. It was concrete. You could tell it was man-made. Massive thing. And I guess we put that there. I don't know for sure. We're still paying those people, by the way, for exploding that on them. They died by the millions, or by the thousands, I should say. Many of the people on board those ships got cancer and died. But the bottom line is, God, that the secret of that, that whole secret that unlocked the atomic age, God clothes himself as that, in that. And God clothes himself with light as a garment. You understand that light reveals, but you also understand that light conceals?
Yeah.
The glory of God conceals what he looks like. Moses saw his hinder part, and his face shone for a while. And so the glory of God in the astral heavens, but then there's the glory of God in the atmospheric heavens. This is the one the airplanes fly in. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. What waters? What he's talking about here, he's talking about the phenomenon, the engineering marvel of evaporation and precipitation that goes on every day on the planet. Solomon was amazed by it. Solomon was quite an engineer, and Solomon said in chapter 1, verse 7 of Ecclesiastes, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. The water in the Atlantic that comes from here, it recycles and comes up here and rains on us and goes right back again. And the filtration process that God uses. And Solomon was amazed by that. But what's amazing, more amazing than that, God uses clouds and water vapor to lay the beams of his house on. Try that. Try digging a foot in a cloud. Try pouring concrete in a cloud. Try laying beams in the vapor. Try laying beams in that water vapor that's up there. God said he did. That's what he said. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. The clouds are his chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Sometimes you have to wonder. When Tommy was flying the other day when he soloed, he didn't know it till he got up. There was a military jet came in to Asheville. And he's in the pattern of that bad boy. Now, he didn't tell me what it was, but it doesn't matter what it was. You don't want to fool with a military jet. The thrust on those things is so enormous, they actually have a tornado coming out the back of them. It's called a vortex. And if you get in the vortex of a fighter It'll take a little plane and tear it all to pieces. It'll put you in a spin. I mean, you don't. Even a commercial airliner. We were coming into to Nashville, and we were, as we were doing our approach, we were following a Southwest jetliner in, and here we are in a little 310, and we're flying in. Of course, 310 is a pretty good size airplane, but compared to these big ones, it's not. Nashville's an international airport, and the air traffic controller said, yes, that's the 310, said 09 Mike or whatever it is, said, fall in behind that Southwest 727. And Chuck's going, find a Southwest. Well, it just so happened I knew what color they were. They were gold and orange at the time. And I said, I see him. He said, hot dog. And so we made a line right for that jet. And as that jet passed us, because he's going faster than we are, we fell in behind him. And Chuck told me, he said, now watch where he hits. Watch where he touches down. I said, why? He said, because we got to land on this side of that, or we got to land on the other side of that. But whatever we do, we can't land where he did. I said, why? He said, the vortices off those engines when he reverses that thing coming in, he said, could tear us, could flip us upside down on top of that runway just that fast. He said, we got to go on past where he sat down, or we got to get down before he sat down, but we cannot sit down where he sat down. There's danger in doing that. I was flying on a B-17. I was on the Fuddy Duddy. We had the one of the stealth bombers come in during that same show. I heard them tell, I had a scanner, and they waved us off, and we went around at Asheville and took us around, and they said that we had jet vortices. We were in danger of that antique aircraft that did not get, because there was a military aircraft, and they wanted us to vector a different direction and come around and change our direction. What it was, they didn't want us to come in behind that B-1, that stealth fighter. They didn't know what that old B-17 would do coming in behind that thing. B-17's big, but it was no match for that the turbulence. And I'm not blaming this on God, but have you ever thought about, could it be the turbulence of these big F-5 tornadoes? That may be the exhaust of God's chariot. You ever thought about that? May just gotten his prop wash. I mean, may just gotten, First time I ever flew back in those days at Greenville, not only could you come up for the weight on everybody, you could go outside. They let you go out and stand on the tarmac. And that worked real well until the plane turned, blowed their Doris and Shannon and the kids' eyes slam full of dirt. I mean, just blowed their eyes full of stuff. It's terrible. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine the cloud that God rides on? Ooh. That's beyond thinking, isn't it? But then I thought about the angelic heaven, and we'll stop with that. Who maketh his angel spirits his ministers of flaming fire. So beyond the heaven that's out yonder, and the stars, and beyond the heaven that the birds fly in, there is another heaven that the angels fly in. And the Bible tells us, especially in the Revelation, that those angels are going to take control, that the veil is drawn back to show us angels, both good and bad angels, and they're in control of the wind, and they're in the control of the weather. The Bible tells us that angels are assigned to take care of little children. The angels are assigned to take care of the saints of the Most High. Peter and Paul were ministered directly to by angels. And even around us today, there's angels camped round about us. We can't see them, but they're here. Ralph Sexton said everybody's got two, at least two. He said, because it says that angels protect thee. Brother Mays used to have his named. His was called Mercy and Grace. Every now and then he'd say, boys, crowd me a little bit. Crowd me. I need you, boys. Crowd me a little bit. Who knows? Who could tell? If I had time, I could tell you some strange occurrences that I cannot explain other than God and his angels. Vehicles, almost wrecks, all sorts of things. things that people saw out, other people saw it and were amazed. It's one thing to be in it and experience it, but it's another thing when people stop on the side of the road and walk up to you and say, I don't believe what I just saw. Something went on here that's not natural. This is unusual. This is not normal. I believe that God's holy angels, and if we had time, we could talk about all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's full of it. He goes all the way through creation. I mean, there's the glory of God's person. There's the glory of God's power. And then it closes with the glory of God's purpose. And the bottom line of this psalm is that, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty.